Hello everyone, we are on episode 3 and it is almost 3 a.m. So shout out to me and my insomnia. Let's see what we finna do. Let's see how much I can get through. It was, as I said earlier in episode 1, it was just such a treat to rewatch Baby Reindeer. Was not expecting to enjoy it at all, to the extent that I did. And it was just pretty fun to watch again. And I was just talking to someone last week who watched it for the very first time and cannot wait. I think I'm gonna let me hop on over. Let me do that now. You know how sometimes I do some things in real time? Let me go and look and see what Mr. Richard Gadd is up to. You know what I'm saying? Because, which I think I already said, it's like when I watched Re Baby Reindeer, I was like, how is this man not an actor? Like, what is going on? He is so good at acting. Okay. Okay. So it looks as though very interesting. So his acting career began in 2005. I mean, it looks like I see one in 2012, I see a BBC comedy thing, but it looks like he's been acting since 2005. That makes sense. It explains why he's so great at it. So I see all these actor credits, 21 actor credits, 5 writer credits, 2 producer credits. But what I don't like is I don't see any future projects. But you know, Baby Reindeer just dropped, so I just believe he needs to keep acting. I would love to see more of his acting, because I thought he was good. And yeah, I think a lot of the stuff he was doing is probably, I think it was like BB, not BBC, but things in the UK. So I clicked on writer just to see what he has going on. But that's not pulling up as easily, so. Okay. I'm glad he's out here doing his thing, and I definitely want to see more. I want to see more acting from him. 'Cause he's just so polished. All right. It is time to discuss episode 3. It's like it was funny 'cause I remember people kept on talking about like episode 4 being crazy, and then I also saw some people saying episode 5 is crazy, and my friend who told me to watch it, she was like, oh, wait until episode 5. And it's like, I'm sorry to me. Let me look at this real quick. Let's see. To me, episode 5. Hold on. No. The fighting episode. I'm trying to look which one that is. And to me, I thought it was episode 4. Anyways, my point is, yes, it was episode 4. To me, episode 4 is the craziest one. Because I think a lot goes down in episode 4, but it was funny because online, I feel like there was a mixture of people's like saying episode 4 was a trip, episode 5 was a trip. It's like, nah, this is all a wild ride. But the Martha and Terry fight scene, that's when I was like, this really took a turn. And it's like, you just want to jump in your screen and handle Martha, like, I wish she would. Martha is one of those reasons, or a great example of why you need to have things on your person to defend yourself. Pepper spray at minimum, brass knuckles if that's your jam. You need to have something going on because you're not about to do that to me. And in public, why was everybody not like security could be straight up useless, and bystanders can be useless. Like, don't even let her do. Martha was able to do too much, and it's so true to life because people really do be watching or filming when things go down. Like, if you are depending on other people to intervene, it's too late. It's like when Drake said, if you're reading this, it's too late. It's too late because people are going to be using their phones to film when you need their help. So, all right, episode three, y'all. Look at me. It's like I'm learning to read for the first time. I see that the Martha attacking Terry, it happened in episode three. I take it back, y'all. No, episode three, that was the one that really did it for me. Episode four did it for other people, and I understand. All right, let's get to it. So, episode three begins with Martha emailing Donnie saying that she could hear his heart beating. Yes, I would assume so, Martha. You had your ear next to his heart on his body. So, I would expect you to hear his heart beating. His heart beating has nothing to do with you assaulting him and him feeling love or lust for you or it uniting y'all in any way, shape, or form. Your head was to his ear. So, yeah, we get it. A heart beats. That's what it does. This woman didn't address what she did to him in her email. Why didn't she address it? Let's remember, she understands how to be manipulative in a way in her correspondence. That's what's unveiled to us later. Like, why didn't she talk about, shoving him up against the wall and molesting him? Why didn't she talk about that? Why didn't you say, you know what, baby reindeer? I wish that you had told me I could do this, but you didn't. You just, I overpowered you. And I know you don't want me, I'm being so silly. But anyway, so she said she could hear his heart beating, which I guess is romance. That's romance to Martha. As I said, like, is this bitch a virgin? Like, Lord, I don't know. Part of me feels like I need to know more. Like, I'm kind of like Donnie. I need to know what is wrong. Like, what is going on? Either a virgin or like no man has wanted to have anything to do with her in decades, which, smart. That's why those men are still alive today, the ones who rejected her. So, baby reindeer, look at me calling him baby reindeer. Donnie blocks Martha on Facebook at this point, and he takes some time off from bartending at the pub. That's what, being assaulted can do. It could show you why it was a bad idea to become online friends with your stalker. So, Donnie surprises Terry and Terry to tell Terry the truth, to tell Terry that he is a comedian and he is a bartender. And when he tells Terry that he's a bartender, Terry says, quote, "Nobody wants to work at a bar. What's the plan? The big picture. Where do you want to be in 10 years?" Now, this is such an insult, and it is so cutting. And I remember speaking with bartenders who talk to me about how people say this very same thing that Terry said. And that is, I believe, why Richard wrote it into the script. There is no respect for people who work in certain industries and have certain careers. Like, bartending is a lifelong career for many people, and it can be very lucrative, which is similar to like being a server at like a high-end restaurant or doing customer service in a high-end establishment. It's kind of like selling luxury cars. How is selling luxury cars different than selling luxury real estate? Where is the respect for people in the service industry and sales, you know? And so I understand what Terry said. Most people use bartending or waitressing or serving as a stepping stone to something else, but I just wish that more people would have respect for the jobs that people have and arguably really enjoy instead of shitting on them. Like Terry being a therapist, yeah, she might be more likely to shit on bartending, and I know she said this because she was annoyed with part of the reason why she was, nasty, which she didn't even think about for 2 seconds, is because she was annoyed with Donnie, but it's so rude. And I hope that viewers who watch this picked up on how rude it is to say that to someone. So the Terry continues and she says to Donnie, "Are you doing all this for a bit of material? I don't believe anything you say. Time's up, dickhead. Get the fuck out my house." Terry is definitely hypersensitive. Being a trans woman, she probably deals with things that I can't even fathom. And she probably feels especially vulnerable when she's dating a cis man. So I understand why she could have no patience for him. And so she slams her door in his face. And we see that Donnie then updates his profile on the trans dating site and puts in his real name and puts that he's a comedian. And so Donnie gets home and Martha, she's at the crib when he gets there, which I really love the unveiling of Martha at his crib as she walked out and claimed her name was Sheila. So she is sitting there, she invaded, or she's standing up. Martha, she invaded his ex-girlfriend's mom's cooking group. Like, the one person you don't want to see in your house is in your house. And so she emails Donnie after he successfully gets her to leave by threatening to call the police. She says, quote, "Baby reindeer, if you didn't want me coming to your house, then why you keep walking the canal home?" The logic of a stalker, yo. A stalker is saying, if you didn't want me to know where you live, why did you go to your house every day? Like, why were you not going to different locations so that I couldn't figure out which location might be your place of residence? Like, what? So, Martha wants to stay at the house. Let me see. So Martha, this is a little out of sequence. So Martha wanted to stay at Donnie's house and she actually tells him, "You're lucky I'm still interested." Again, y'all, this is how you know someone is scary, when their reality and their universe is completely different. How frightening. The woman is saying, "You're lucky I'm still interested." The woman is claiming men fancy her if they aren't gay or blind. And it's like she really speaks, as Terry said earlier, she's a fantasist, and she really, Martha speaks, says things that she wishes were true. And I also believe that she believes that they're true at the same time. Like, she's just she out there. So then Danny, he threatened to call the police, as I just said. So she, races out of the house, which he was so smart to do that. It's like he should have been, when you see how quickly she leaves, it's like he should have been calling the police like every day when she walked into the pub. So then Martha left a picture of herself in a black bra and red panties on his desk. And it was weird. She was like holding a tube with a soda. Oh, I guess it was a Diet Coke. I don't know. I don't want to know. In the photo. So then Martha, she's not at the bar when Donnie goes to warn her to stay away from the bar after she was at his house. So she's now sitting outside his bedroom window at a bus stop because she found out where she lives and she has to be posted up where her man is, right? Where this man who is going to poach her eggs and put three babies in her reside. So Keely shows up. Keely is the ex-girlfriend, of course, of Donnie, whose mom's house he's staying at. Keely shows up to the house and tells him to keep Martha away from her. And Keely tells Donnie that he brought this distraction on. And she says to him, anything to pull you away from the stasis that is your own life. And they were nasty. They were nasty. And then he's like, oh, so you're using your degree? You're not wasting it in a flower shop? It's like, Keely, so Donnie is good at picking a bad bitch who is more successful than him. He did that with Keely. Keely graduated, and Keely, we see towards the end, she has money. She has money, actually. We see not only at the end, but we see that she has money. Like, she had money for her birthday trip, or, yeah, for a birthday excursion, right? And then he picks Terry, who also has an established career and is in her own place and not sharing it with a bunch of like loud partying roommates. So the man knows how to date up, and I see nothing wrong with dating up. So mad respect. So Martha then emails Donnie and says, I hate that Keely bitch so much. I swear I keep seeing her places. Oh my gosh, Donnie already told Martha Keely is a friend of his. Martha, for whatever reason, thinks that Donnie's allegiance is to her, so she feels justified in calling Keely a bitch and complaining that she's seeing her places. What a crisis for Martha. So Martha, she is there waiting outside of Donnie's house, sitting at the bus stop. And as Donnie said, she devoted 15, 16-hour days to a fleeting moment of him walking by. How sad. How sad. This woman has absolutely nothing going for her. She is able to sit her fat ass down and just plant herself there for the majority of the day. Okay. All right, honey. So Donnie drives Martha home so she won't freeze to death. London is not a warm place. It is winter. She's still outside, sitting there, zoned out. And he begs her to stop hanging out outside of his house. And then Donnie drives Martha to her crib and he starts crying to her and he says, there is no us. And he realizes that she believes that there is an us and that they're a couple. So he then tells her that he's breaking up with her. And I don't know. I feel that that was yet another thing that he did wrong, but he was already in it so deep. It's like, what is the man supposed to do? I don't think he should have given her the impression that they were together. He should have just reminded her that they were never a thing and explained it to her, been like, this is why we haven't kissed. This is why we haven't held hands. This is why we haven't done anything. We're nothing. We are nothing. You are nothing to me. So then Terry shows up to his comedy competition with his friends because she's upset and she's trying to embarrass him or wants to watch him be embarrassed. And then Martha tells the audience at his show that Martha herself is his ex-girlfriend and that he wanted anal sex from her. The way how Donnie's coworker who sent that anal sex email was not reprimanded enough. Like, after this happened, he should have, like, Donnie should have went to work and slapped this man at minimum, or like need him in the, well, Donnie was too tall for that, but need him in the crotch. Like, and I know they're coworkers and that's assault or whatever, but egg his car, do something. Like, look at how that email caused this woman to show people at the show her phone of Donnie asking for anal. And so, then in my notes, all I have is attacks Terry. No, Martha shows up, interrupts Donnie and Terry, and then she is trying to take out Terry, and she says to Terry, "You look like a man." And Terry is actually attractive, though. Martha, relax. I'm talking about the real Fiona. I would love to know what the real Terry looked like, because the real Terry was probably a bad bitch. Like, Martha, like I've said before, what's so troubling about one of the things that's so troubling about Martha is how nasty she is. This woman is quick with the insults, the most hurtful and insulting things she can think of in the moment. She's gonna say it. She's really trying to transfer her pain and hurt other people. No conscience. Like, this woman is so unhinged and evil. And she's out there roaming these streets. Like, I can't even imagine what baby reindeer has done to her, like, very fractured psyche. Like, what is she thinking? Who is she obsessing about now? I wouldn't be surprised if she's obsessing about the entire cast of the series. Like, she is so unwell. Like, I think she needs to be in an institution. I don't think she should be among us. And I'm happy I don't live anywhere near her. Like, she's that bad. All right, so the with Terry, sorry, with Martha attacking Terry, like, it was too much. It was like, nah, I needed it. Like, we need a sequel. I need a sequel. I need to see people attacking Martha. I need to see people living out my dreams. I need to see her being assaulted, because I mean, I can't. She's so hard. She's so hard to watch. Woo, what an antagonist, right? My gosh, like, not a single redeeming quality. Like, not one. All right. So that is episode three, y'all's. Woo! Now it's time for episode four. So, in episode four, yes, it is a big turning point in not only the series, but also in Donnie, aka Richard Gadd's, life. This is where a predator makes him prey, a groomer takes advantage. It is very, very sad. And with Richard Gadd, tackling this subject, I have an immeasurable amount of respect for this man. And I saw like a short interview with him. Like, they don't talk about this. It is never talked about that men are being assaulted by other men. It's just a reality that you don't see in mainstream, you don't see in mainstream art. We act as though it's not possible. And it is. And so I believe that baby reindeer, it may have sparked a lot of discourse, I hope, and opened people's eyes to the fact that this happens every single day. And these victims, they're not talking about it. They're not being public about it. And this is such important. Baby reindeer is so important because I really believe it's probably helping people in so many ways. I'm sure that viewers are seeing themselves in a lot of the ways that Donnie behaved and acted out, and they're thinking about their own Darian that they may have encountered. And I don't know, this is so brave and commendable. Like, blown away, truly blown away. Like, so many other people men who were raped are so humiliated and feel emasculated that they're not saying anything. I can't imagine how underreported this crime is. And that's why we're oblivious to it. For the most part, we're oblivious to how often it happens, who it happens to, and how it happens, because there's so much silence taking place. So I'm foreshadowing, but I've been doing that throughout these episodes because I assume, as I say before, like that you are listening to the episode after having watched whatever I'm discussing. Like, so, and Baby Reindeer, it's been out for a while. So let me get into episode four. So Donnie, at this point, after Terry is attacked by his stalker slash ex-girlfriend, in her mind, Martha, he goes to the police station, but he doesn't mention that Terry was attacked, and he doesn't mention that he was groped, and he doesn't mention that Martha is a convicted stalker. Why? Now, the Terry thing, we understand he doesn't want it to be known that he's with a transgender woman, but why didn't you mention the sexual assault, the groping, and why didn't you mention the stalking conviction? Like, I guess when you're frazzled, you just do dumb things. So maybe that's what happened. I would love to know though. It's like I'm reading my notes and I'm like, maybe I should listen to more interviews with Richard Gadd to know, like, why did you keep the most important details out when you went to the police? So we see that Donnie had been doing comedy 5 years prior to present, to the present, and he went to some like pub comedy festival type of thing. Things are not going well, and I understand why. Like, I don't understand Donnie's comedy. Like, watching Donnie's comedy makes me very happy that he stopped doing it. Watching Donnie's comedy is, it's, they are some of the most uncomfortable scenes, which says a lot when you consider that most of this series is comprised of uncomfortable scenes in a way. But Donnie, I have to say, shout out, or sorry, Richard Gadd, he's, there is, I'll put it this way, there is something in that onesie that he is wearing. There is something going on there, and I will leave it G-rated, and I will just say that there's something going on. So Donnie meets Darian at a pub. Something that was funny to me is, let me see this, because Darian, I'm gonna do an, real time Googling again. Darian in whatchamacallit, Darian in Baby Reindeer, he's supposed to be a 50-year-old man, and sorry, 55-year-old man, and it wasn't giving 55-year-old to me, and look at me, I'm so stupid. I Googled and the man is 56. The actor who played him is 56. So that means he was 55 when they filmed, more than likely. Okay, well, I'm an idiot, clearly. I don't know. This, I feel like he's aging well. He's not giving 55 to me. Wow. This man is like, I'm not alone here, right? Like, when you saw the man, when you saw Darian, was your first thought he's a 55-year-old man? Okay. So they were not playing no games with the casting. They were choosing, they chose a man who was literally the same age as his character. Okay. I have been checked. Moving on. So Darian says that he works or he worked on Donnie's favorite show, Cottonmouth. And then he gets Donnie to do cocaine with him in the bathroom and he critiques his act. And Donnie then begins doing better with his comedy performances and he's filling seats and he's making money. And it was really sad, rewinding a little bit, when Donnie was trying to talk to somebody who worked on Cottonmouth. And then that guy was like, I gotta go. Like, the guy shut him down. And that was so Hollywood. Like, people who work in the industry, like, don't even bother most times if you're trying to, like, network. Like, it's not, they know that you need them more than they need you. And they're going to let that known through just how they interact with you. It's so sad how many people come to Los Angeles and probably cities like New York as well. And they think that their career is going to be one thing because they're talented and friendly, and it's not a meritocracy. So there's that. So we also see in this, like, flashback, essentially flashback or background, I won't say flashback, but background story of Donnie, that he was taking acting classes at Oxford. With his boo thing, Keeley. And so Donnie calls him while he's in acting class, and Donnie shows up to Darian's house because Darian said that he wants to write with Donnie. So Donnie slides a script to Darian, which I love that it really shows, like, Donnie is a straight up writer. Like, he seems to, like, be able to kind of shit scripts out. And Darian doesn't want to read it, and he asks Donnie to give him the gist of the script so that he could just tell him that the script needs more work, which is unfair. He didn't read it. And so then Darian asks Donnie if he wants to do drugs, and, like, Darian was not gonna take no for an answer. Like, that was not a question. It was a, you better do this if you want to be in my home. So then they start doing lines. Donnie is a fan of the people that Darian claims to have worked with. And Darian says that his home is a sacred space and it takes someone special for him to invite them in to his home. Red flag. What's gonna happen? He's letting us know that. Darian is letting us know that Donnie is special. It's like, oh no, oh no. I didn't see it coming though. I didn't. Did any of you see it coming? What happened? So then Donnie asks, what did the famous people that Darian work with, what did they do to get to where they are today? Which is so sad watching it, because then it just allows Darian to bullshit. And so Darian says, listen to me. They threw themselves into everything I asked them. Of course, true predator, true groomer, true molester, true rapist, right? So then Darian asks Donnie if he wants to get really, really, really high. And Donnie says, fuck yeah. Is so sad and troubling because Donnie didn't want this. Donnie's just trying to break into a very competitive, classist, elitist society. So then, while tripping, Donnie gets up from the couch. We see him vomit. Again, this series is like, your acting has to be superb, and it is. Shout out to Richard. Give this man some awards. So he's vomiting, and then Darian, is patting his back while he's vomiting. And then Darian starts roaming his fingers up his bum hole, in the words of Martha. And Donnie, very emotionally tells Darian to stop. He starts yelling. And then Darian stops, but the assault had already taken place, right? So then Darian hands him a cup of almond milk and tells him he'll sort it himself out or whatever. It's like, almond milk has shit to do with what you just put me through. So Donnie says, I'm really sorry about all that. Donnie is apologizing to the person who assaulted him. And Darian says, it's okay, we'll go slower next time. There's not gonna be no next time. No. That's what we would hope for, right? So after moving to London with Keely, Donnie began doing drugs every weekend with his, the man he was supposed to be riding with, Darian. Week-long benders, high on crack and meth and heroin. So, Donnie is so lucky when you think about it that he did not become an addict, because he's out here doing highly addictive substances, crack, meth, and heroin, and he seemed completely unscathed, addiction-wise. At least in Baby Reindeer, it's like he just put those drugs to rest when he wasn't in Darian's presence. So that's amazing if that is what actually took place. So then Donnie would wake up and Darian would be touching him or have his mouth somewhere. And then he would send, Darian would email Donnie really harsh notes, and he would want rewrites of his scripts overnight. How sad is this? As if assaulting someone repeatedly isn't enough. He's also making Donnie feel inadequate as a writer, as an artist, which, okay. I mean, this Darian man, I feel the same way about him on the rewatch as I did the first time. Why is this man not behind bars? Why? I Googled again. I can't find the identity of this man. I'm pissed. Can we round him up and throw him in jail? What is going on? So Darian tells Donnie that he wants to do acid with him. Meanwhile, Donnie is in his mid-20s and Darian is 55 years old. So he has a full 30 years pretty much on this man. Don't you wonder how many people Darian victimized? I really need more information on Darian. Like, come on, I'm sorry. There's this Baby Reindeer, it's ripe for a sequel, okay? Or give us like a straight up documentary, not like, docu-series with a script. Give us a documentary. Give us the backstory of Martha. Give us information on Darian so he could be rounded up. Like, why haven't the internet sleuths ID'd this man? We need to know. We deserve it. So Donnie has a really bad trip, and Darian, of course, makes it worse by doing what he does to Donnie in this episode. He rapes him. So Donnie cannot get hard when he's with Keely anymore. Keely moves out, and it's because Donnie couldn't get aroused because he felt insecure. He suddenly felt insecure about his sexuality. And because sometimes victims feel like, okay, what vibe was I giving off for this to happen? And they feel responsible in some way. So it's very understandable why he felt insecure about his sexuality. Again, this story is so important. So then Donnie begins to watch gay porn. He finishes very quickly, whenever he watches it, according to him. And then he starts hooking up with men and women in bathroom stalls and at like whorehouses, essentially. And he said that he was looking for answers. And so he went on many dates and had, he said many or several dozens, whatever, a lot of relationships. So it's like, really, how long were these relationships, honey? Before meeting the trans woman whom he wondered, actually, take it back. I think it was a good 5 year, maybe it was a 5 year stretch since we were. They brought us back to 5 years prior. So that's enough time to have a decent amount of relationships, but they still had to be short. He was really out. Basically, he was out here spreading his seed. He was out here doing the most, experimenting, being with men and women. So then he meets Terry, and he said that he wondered if he would be interested in whether or not he would have even been interested in Terry if Darian didn't rape him. Good question, right? Good question. This Baby Reindeer really tackles a lot of the questions that people have. Like, a lot of people fear, like, if they try something and they like it, well, they want more of it. And it's really fascinating to just watch someone explore that, those possibilities. So then Donnie meets Martha at the bar, and it's making sense now that Martha claims to have sensed that a man has hurt Donnie. That's what Martha was claiming in episode one. She was like, "Who hurt you?" And, we already know she's unwell. But, clearly Darian is the man who hurt him because Martha was like, "Okay, I think it was a man or whatever." So, All right, y'all. That is episode four. Let's get into episode five, six, and seven.